First off, Senator, good morning.
How you doing, Tom?
Good, good. And it looks like, you know, I think people were surprised yesterday when you saw Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell come out and say, we've got an agreement, and it was a two-year agreement in the Senate.
Long overdue. And it's a good thing to finally see bipartisanship return after a year of a pretty bleak relationship. This is a promising ending. There's still a lot to do. What I think is equally important is that we're seeing the emergence in the Senate of a strong center of Republicans and Democrats who are meeting currently on the DACA issue, but want to be part of the future of the Senate. We even have promise from Senator McConnell that next week, for the first time in over a year and a half, we're going to have an actual debate on the Senate floor on legislation. That has not happened, except under really strict rules which don't allow real debate. So I'm glad to see it.
$63 million increase in domestic spending, $80 billion more for defense spending. But one thing that caught my attention was the a quote here from a news story that I'm reading here. It says, the bill also calls for lifting of limits on federal spending, which would allow the repeated increases in defense and domestic budgets.
Well, what we're dealing with here is something called sequestration. We put it in place and said if the budget doesn't meet certain targets, there will be automatic across-the-board cuts in agencies. It was such a horrific idea, no one ever believed it would happen. And then it did. And we ended up with sequestration in the Department of Defense and other agencies. It was devastating. And so this automatic cutback in spending became mindless and painful and hurtful to our national security. So what we are doing is lifting for 2 years that automatic sequestration. Let's see if we can respond to it in a good way. But that was really a shadow over everything we did, including military readiness.
All right. Now, in Washington, there had been so many voices equating getting something done about funding the government directly with immigration. And apparently Nancy Pelosi took that to heart. I think 8 hours plus, a new record on the House floor.
I was there. I went over just to stand by her side. I obviously couldn't speak on the House floor, and to show her moral support, and we exchanged glances. She saw me, and that's why I went over there. What she is asking for in the House is exactly what Senator McConnell has promised in the Senate, an open debate, level playing field. Each side offers amendments, bring up this issue, immigration issue for the DACA protectees, those who were protected by the program, and have a debate and bring it to an end. Now, the Republicans have a majority in the Senate and the House. We know the outcome on a strict party vote. If you can come up with a bipartisan plan, which we hope to in the Senate, and do the same in the House, we'd be able to solve a problem which we haven't been able to touch for 5 years. So I support Nancy completely. I hope Paul Ryan will give her the chance and his own side the chance for a real debate on the House floor.
I'm seeing headlines this morning saying the House is going to be taking up this Senate bill. Do you know when?
Today, I think. We're hoping to vote on it ourselves around noon. Then the House will take it up. And I'm not sure what's going to happen. Unless Paul Ryan makes a pledge that he will bring this immigration issue to the floor, some Democrats are going to step back and say we can't vote without the pledge. In the meantime, the most conservative Republicans, the Tea Party Caucus, Freedom Caucus, as they call themselves, have said they're not voting for it. So as a vote counter, I'd say Paul Ryan starts at a real disadvantage. If he can't count on Democratic votes for this, and he has his own troops divided, he may have a difficult time coming up with a majority.
All right, but how does this play into the March 8th deadline? These items of, you know, the pledges to take this out on the Senate floor, get another pledge on the House to take this up in debate as well. What about this March 8th deadline? Isn't that really the deadline?
The March 5th is what you're referring
March
to.
March 5th, I'm sorry. Yes.
Trump's DACA deadline?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, as of that date, then literally all hell breaks loose because to the tune of 1,000 people a day, these DACA protectees will lose protection. What it means is 1,000 of them will be subject to deportation and cannot no longer legally work in America. Who are they? Well, 20,000 of them are teachers in our schools across America. We have another 900 who volunteered and serve in the U.S. military. They will have to give up their service to our country in the U.S. military. We have medical school students who cannot apply for residencies to continue their medical education because they lose that protection. So it is a disastrous day, March 5th. We're trying to avoid it by reaching an agreement beforehand.
Memos have taken up a lot of inventory in news broadcasting recently, the Republican and Democratic FISA memos. Your takeaways after reading those documents?
It was supposed to be a bombshell. It was a dud. There wasn't anything in the memo that Devin Nunes wanted to disclose. Incidentally, that's the first time that particular procedure has been used to disclose classified information and to have it unclassified, and the president had to approve. Then came the Democratic memo on its heels, which tells, I believe, the other side of the story, or at least they say it will. Now comes disclosure by Senator Johnson of other classified information. And when it's all said and done, you look at it and say, is that all there is? It really doesn't decide the case. Bob Mueller's investigation needs to continue without any political interference from the right or the left. I trust the man. I think he's a consummate professional. He was a former U.S. attorney in San Francisco, registered Republican, Marine Corps veteran of the Vietnam War. He is as straight and arrow as I've ever met in public life. If he says at the end of the day nothing was wrong, I accept it. If he says there was something wrong, I take him at his word.
Janetta Manfrey, the head of cybersecurity at the Department of Homeland Security, late yesterday said she couldn't talk about all the classified information, but told NBC News that in 2016, the Russians targeted 21 states, and an exceptionally small number of them were actually successfully penetrated. After reading previous reports when this began prior to the presidential election, Illinois was on that list of 21 states.
Yes. Is that true? And we know that they ended up hacking into the voter files at the State Board of Elections. We do not believe they changed a single vote in the election, nor they did they do anything that directly impacted the voters. But notification was sent to registered voters saying that your files have been hacked. At the time, they didn't disclose who hacked them. Now we know it was the Russians. And let me just tell you, Tom, trust me, they're at it again all over the world trying to interfere in elections. They have these robot machines that send out messages that are phony messages with the names of American-sounding groups. They are trying to impact American voters to get the desired political outcome for their country. It is an outrage. And what have we done about it? Absolutely nothing. We haven't passed any legislation to protect the American electoral process. We haven't gone after them, as we should, to stop this activity. And we are facing a new election right now, 2018, and the Russians rolling up their sleeves are coming in and deciding they want to take it away from our American voters.
In our remaining moment, the idea of a military parade brought up by President Trump based on his experience in France watching their Bastille Day parade.
Let me tell you what we ought to do with the money that the president would send in that parade. We ought to put it into the readiness of our troops so that if they're called into battle, they'll be able to survive and come home to their families. We ought to put it into the Veterans Administration, where they're still waiting in line for services, to make sure we give them the kind of respect they deserve for serving our country. I wouldn't waste a nickel on a parade for the amusement of this president. We don't need it. America knows how strong we are. We don't have to beat our chest and stand up in public. Our military is a best in the world, and we don't need a parade to prove it.